WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart Radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Good morning on a Thursday at 6, and welcome aboard for our first look at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic. Here and now on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540 and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, guilty verdicts in Osceola County. More in 1 minute.
And LeBron steps in it big time. And Chauvin overkill, what's that? I'll tell you next on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. A jury in Osceola County has delivered guilty verdicts for the estranged husband and father-in-law of Nicole Montalvo, whose body was found dismembered in 2019 after she was reported missing. Montalvo's estranged husband, Christopher Otero Rivera, and her father-in-law, Angel Luis Rivera, were charged with second-degree murder, abuse of a body, and evidence tampering in her death. The verdicts were bittersweet for Nicole Montalvo's family, including her brother, Eddie Montalvo.
Well, justice was served today. Our sister, my sister, Stevie, Nicole is still gone. A son has still lost his mother.
Prosecutors are expected to seek a sentence of life in prison each for the father and son.
You and I have been around doing news in this town a long time, Alan. Hard to remember many stories more grisly than this one. Glad justice has finally been achieved.
Grisly and heartbreaking, yes, all at the same time. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. The school superintendent in Broward County is facing a felony perjury charge related to testimony he gave before a grand jury investigation following the Parkland massacre.
Robert Runzie is out of jail, and Parkland father and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High Public Safety Commission member Ryan Petty wants him out of a job, putting the pressure on the school board.
Oh, I think they should begin their search immediately.
Petty is hopeful through this case being prosecuted by the Florida Attorney General's office, they'll find justice for the MSD victims, including his daughter Elena.
And that the students in Broward County will benefit from, hopefully, a new superintendent and new leadership at the district.
In a statement, the board's chair has said the district will operate as normal under its leadership team. Eric Rodriguez, Miami.
We were expecting a launch from Cape Canaveral in just a few minutes from now, but NASA and SpaceX postponed the scheduled liftoff of four astronauts aboard the Crew Dragon Endeavor because of weather concerns. Launch of a Falcon 9 rocket now set for 5:49 a.m. tomorrow, and weather conditions are 90% go. Former Florida Senator Bill Nelson was back on Capitol Hill for his Senate confirmation hearing to be the next NASA administrator. Nelson said President Biden's proposed increase in funding for the space agency is vital.
You can't mitigate climate change unless you can measure it, and that's NASA's expertise.
Biden nominated Nelson last month.
We talked about this, and I thought he was the logical guy for this, and he got a lot of praise from Republicans yesterday as well. It looks like Nelson's going to sail through this.
He's a shoo-in. Ted Cruz says he's the one Biden nominee he could vote for.
There you go.
And an NBA superstar is under fire for what some are calling a misinformed social media post about a police-involved shooting.
Following news of the police-involved shooting of Micaiah Bryant in Columbus, Ohio, LeBron James expressed frustration, posting a photo of Officer Nicholas Reardon from the scene of the incident on Twitter, along with a caption of, "You're next," hashtag accountability, seeming to allude to the same fate of Derek Chauvin, who was found guilty in the murder of George Floyd. The LA Lakers star coming under criticism after body cam footage revealed that Bryant was seen wielding a knife and attempting to attack another woman. LeBron deleting the tweet amid the backlash, then posting Wednesday, "I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability." Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Big time case of jumping to conclusions, and there is a lot of that going on right now.
WFLA News Time is 6:05. Aaron Hernandez's unreleased rap songs from jail will be sold online. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLAOrlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app, now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
To refresh folks' memories here, and correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron Hernandez was the great Florida Gator receiver who wound up in the New England Patriots, played with Gronk for a while, and then wound up, you know, convicted of serious crimes and, am I correct, took his own life in prison?
That's right. There's an excellent Netflix documentary about the life and death of Aaron Hernandez.
Yep, saw it. Very good. Very
worth
good.
Seeing.
Yeah, horrible CTE, story. Man. Hard stuff and yeah, a lot of stuff there.
Very sad story.
Yeah, very disturbing what's going on. The situation in Columbus, Ohio with Micaiah Bryant here. Cops get a 911 phone call and we got a bunch of knife-wielding kids who are fighting each other and the cops show up and there's one black girl about to knife another one, you know, and maybe take her life. They're both black. The cop is white. And he shoots to stop the knife-wielding girl. I mean, in a bang-bang situation here. And then you get LeBron saying, you're next of the white cop, you know. I mean, you're going to get this guy shot or try to get him locked up, for God's sakes. What is a cop supposed to do in that situation? He's a white cop who just saved the life of a black girl being attacked by another black girl. Is there a problem with that?
You know, it's clear from the video, the body cam video, I think it's clear that what you described is what happened, that the one girl was about to knife the other girl. The police officer did what he had to do. He shot the attacking girl.
Yeah, you know, we're at a point where a girl can't even stab her friends anymore. I mean, come on, people.
Yeah, you know.
No, seriously, though, I mean, I'm hearing people and seeing people on the internet saying you should have just let them fight it out. Are you kidding me?
No. You know, and also people were, there were questions at the news conference of the interim police chief up there in Columbus asking, well, why don't they just shoot him and shoot the girl in the leg or the arm? He says that's too small a target. We are trained to go for center mass, which is the body.
It's true, Alan. I mean, think about it. If you're trying to shoot something, it's about the size of a playing card and moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And every tenth of a second counts with lives on the line. What the hell are a cop supposed to do? It's unbelievable. We can talk about that, but in 1 hour, we're going to have a little bit of fun giving away some serious cash, aren't we, Alan?
Yes, the $1,000 stimulus contest continues on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Right after the 7 o'clock news, just about 1 hour from now, we'll announce the latest keyword in our contest. All you have to do is submit that keyword on our website, WFLAOrlando.com. It's very simple. We make it very easy for you. And we do this up to 12 times a day. Each time is your opportunity to put a grand in your hand. Now, 6:09 on Good Morning Orlando.
This headline updating you on the pandemic here in the Sunshine State. More than 2.1 million cases in Florida. More than 5,500 new ones reported yesterday. And death count, 34,616 statewide, up by 83 from the prior report. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories all morning here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeartRadio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
To your point, Melissa, on the text line and the situation in Columbus, Chicago lets them fight it out. Thugs die. Nobody cares. Democrats or Republicans are fine with it. So am I. The story out of Columbus, another says, should be the officer saved a girl's life. Somebody saying, why do they always have to mention race? I don't like to mention race, but it is absolutely central to what's going on out there now in terms of policing. We're going to get into this, whether or not there is, in fact, systemic racism in policing and in the population of the United States in general at 7 o'clock. Be with us here because we're going to blow up the big lie, okay? But the fact of the matter is, LeBron's not tweeting if we don't have a white cop and two black girls, okay? And the race on it, what they're trying to do is pile on. They got something that happened almost simultaneously with the Chauvin verdicts coming down off the George Floyd trial. All happened within the same hour. And bang, let's get some momentum going here. I told you this stuff is rampant. It's going on all the time. Bang, bang, to Columbus we go. It's happened again. Well, it hasn't happened again. these situations are individual situations. They are vastly different and need to be considered individually, Melissa. But there's an effort to just, you know, to drive a narrative here. We're not going to let them do it.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I've got people that have been bombarding me with direct messages saying that the cop was wrong and that she was a kid and she was in foster care and somebody's advocating cops killing kids who have to endure violence and dysfunction. Oh, okay. So we should have a background on every child before we interrupt them?
It is a split-second situation. That knife is out. It is headed for the gut of that other black girl, all right? And it's split-second. What is that cop supposed to do? He doesn't shoot. The other black girl in pink on the video, if you see it, is probably dead.
Oh, she'd have been gutted. She'd have been gutted. The way that was coming in into her,
Yeah, she probably would have been dead. Then what? What situation would the cop be in? You're not out there doing your damn job, you know?
The police officer's primary mandate is preservation of life, bud. And if someone's being attacked with a knife, a police officer is fully within their rights to use a firearm to subdue that aggressor. The use of firearms does, however, need much review. Less lethal ammo, maybe shooting to wound, etc., is always being on the table, but it doesn't work that way. Like you said, it's a split-second decision.
In a moment. Call me crazy, but I think Derek Chauvin is the victim of overkill. No one's talking about it, but we are in a moment. So what's President Biden up to? Glad you asked. Here's this headline on what he'll be doing today, hosting world leaders today and tomorrow for a summit on climate change. The president expected to unveil proposals to cut national greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Something I don't think you're going to hear about anywhere. I certainly haven't. Chauvin overkill. What in the world is the Bud man talking about? I was reading this long article yesterday about where Derek Chauvin is now after the convictions and the murder of George Floyd, okay? Awaiting sentencing, it's going to be 8 weeks. Is it like they felt like they needed to make an extra statement about this guy who's become the personification of evil? I'm not defending what he did to George Floyd. I would have gone for a conviction on the lowest charge, second-degree manslaughter. The jury was fearful of the city and the nation exploding, and I think they went for a conviction on murder three and murder two, and I don't think that works, and a lot of legal experts don't think that's appropriate either. But they have put him outside Minneapolis in a maximum security prison from which no one has ever escaped, with the absolute worst of the worst career criminals. This man has no prior record. He was in law enforcement for years. He's 45 years old. They put him in solitary because they were afraid people are going to kill him there because he was a cop. And he is in solitary in a small room 23 out of 24 hours a day, let him out for 1 hour for exercise, and they have him on suicide watch right now. Maybe that's because they have some indication of his depressed state of mind. I don't know anything about that. It's not fleshed out in the story. And maybe this is a bizarre comment to make, but you know, they could never do enough to Derek Chauvin, those who just hate him so much for the George Floyd situation. I mean, maximum sentence of 40 years in prison, probably get a lot less than that. Why do they have him on suicide watch then? If they want to make it as tough as they can on him, I don't know. Maybe they just shouldn't have a suicide watch and let him give himself the death penalty. And I wonder if that would make everybody happy.
Yeesh.
Or let him out of solitary confinement and let the other inmates take care of the situation. If you're going to go down that road.
What about it, Melissa? Now, this feels like a take you would have if you were hosting this show. But it hit me right between the eyes when I read this long article about the extreme conditions under which Derek Chauvin finds himself today. I mean, really? Come on.
Why don't
they take him off suicide watch and let him give himself the death penalty? Would
you
that make them all happy?
That would be my stance? Oh, my God.
What do you think? I could see you trotting out a take on it.
No
like
way.
That.
No way. This guy's a fall guy. I've been saying this all along. I mean, why were they prosecuting a guy who was doing his job? Sure, Chauvin's innocent, but he's guilty now because everybody was too scared to say the truth.
He went much too long on the neck of George Floyd. There
you
was no
weren't
question.
There.
He had...
saw a video. He was between the shoulders and the neck. We were not,
not
there.
Not the entire time he wasn't. And this thing went on far
rocking.
Too long. I mean, and even cops will. Even cops across the country will tell you that a conviction here was
well,
right,
fentanyl
and this is
Floyd,
not typical.
Fentanyl Floyd was a hot mess, and this whole thing is basically just making Chauvin out to be in effigy.
Well,
every white cop out there, though, you got, well, what, 2 or 3%
now,
of bad people?
Well, we're getting off the topic here. What George Floyd was... it has no bearing on whether he deserved to live or die.
No, not at all.
That is that situation. But as far as Chauvin and where he's being held, you know, if they're so afraid that they have to put him in solitary confinement, then why put him in a maximum security prison where they feel he would be in jeopardy?
They're
really?
Just trumping it up and up and
no,
up.
No, but why are they doing it is
because
the point.
They're what, trying
why
to make an example
are they
of this guy?
Doing it?
They're trying to make an example of this guy. If they, you know what? They should have just let him loose in the streets and let everybody just tear him limb for limb. Then maybe we'd be happy. Nope, that wouldn't be enough. You're next.
You know, I mean, you know, that's the way they used to do it, you know, 2,000 years ago. Stone him to death in the town square.
But, I mean, the you know, good old days.
I'm a fan of tar and feathering, you know, and then drawn and quartered.
Remember, how about riding him out of town on a rail?
Ooh.
That was always fun.
Never understood that one.
Anyway, you know, I think it's overkill. On Chauvin. It really is. I mean, for what purpose to placate the mob? You know, just, you know, make sure, you know, we just want you to know we're doing everything we can do to this guy. Don't blow the city up.
But, you know, your idea that, okay, if he committed suicide, that would placate the mob? I don't think it would. They'd say he got off easy.
Loser's way out.
He took himself out and he didn't have to... suffer the punishment of spending years and years in prison.
So now you know that I would have left him loose for the crowd.
But here's the thing. If they could, they would have made this a death penalty case, and they would have cheered a death penalty conviction. But if he gives himself the death penalty, they wouldn't like it.
Please.
This is nuts.
If they could have lynched him, that would have been the deal.
Coming up in the bottom of the hour, here's Alan with your news.
Yeah, a murder suspect arrested after a shootout in Seminole County. And the Florida State Fair opens today. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
So glad you're with us on a Thursday morning. It's Good Morning Orlando. The Budman alongside me right now, my co-host Alan Spector, to bring us the news and an update on a murder investigation now spanning a couple of counties in Central Florida.
Yeah, it started in Volusia County, Bud, and led to a shootout in neighboring Seminole County. 29-year-old Amy Desiree Lane Humphreys of Orange City was found stabbed to death Tuesday night in Osteen. Seminole County deputies confronted two suspects at a laundromat in Sanford yesterday. Sheriff Dennis Lemma says one of the men laid down and surrendered, but the other took off on foot, firing at deputies.
The deputies then again returned fire at that location, striking the suspect at least five times. He ultimately was able to get between a house and a building. Our deputies knocked down the fence so they could go in and render aid to the suspect.
The suspect, identified as 32-year-old Brandon McLean, is hospitalized in stable condition. None of the deputies were injured. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Investigators are looking into a motorcycle stunt in Brevard County that left the rider dead. Police say the man was traveling on I-95 North yesterday morning when he stood up on his seat in the motorcycle with his hands up like he was surfing.
Yeah.
Fell off the bike. Two vehicles who were behind the bike ran over the man. He was pronounced dead at the scene. This incident is the latest in a growing trend of motorcycle stunt riding in Central Florida.
Dangerous, and if they don't care about their lives, we have other drivers that care about theirs. That's why we want to make sure that nobody else does.
And that's why Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Kim Montez tells our news partner Fox 35 that state troopers are cracking down on the practice.
We got a couple of things going out there that is just crazy. We got the street racing, and now we got the stunt riding. It's just insane.
Yeah, we had the incident a couple of weeks ago, I guess in Daytona Beach, where somebody rode a motorcycle over a drawbridge as it was opening.
Yeah, they want to do what is that? What was that?
Evel Knievel?
Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
Nuts.
America will pass 200 million coronavirus vaccinations today. At the White House, President Biden called it an American achievement, but noted a large number of Americans are still not vaccinated. The Florida State Fair opens today in Tampa, a couple of months later than usual due to the pandemic. It's the first time since 1979 that the fair has been held in April, and Executive Director Cheryl Flood is asking people to be ready for warmer weather.
Bring sunscreen, wear comfortable shoes, and most importantly, when you come through the gate, remember what gate you walk through.
To save time on the walk back to your car, social distancing is required, so are masks inside and out, except when eating fair food, such as pickle pizza and deep-fried rainbow cookies.
Get me a funnel cake. I'm at the fair.
And the Magic are back in town tonight. For whatever that's worth, they're hosting the New Orleans Pelicans. They are now 18-40 after dropping 9 of their last 10 games.
And they promised to play all 48 minutes?
Well, they've talked a lot about that. It could happen, I guess.
Okay.
WFLA news time is 6:35. You don't have to miss anything on Good Morning Orlando. Get caught up with our podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
So, you have a cup of coffee in the morning to get you going? Is coffee good for you? Oh, yeah, but it's a lot more than just giving you that little kick in the pants to get rolling in the morning. New research in a moment that just blew my mind. I want to share it with you, and we'll talk about it after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines right now. Virginia, the 18th state to make recreational marijuana legal. The governor there signed a new law yesterday saying he believes people are already using pot. You think? And adults will no longer get in trouble for having small amounts. That's Virginia. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Headlines out of Europe and some research they've done here. People who drink 3 to 5 cups of coffee a day are more alert and have better memory. That it benefits in learning, improve motor control, all kinds of benefits beyond just waking you up. Do you buy that, guys? I mean, how many cups of coffee a day are you all good for?
I'm sorry, what were you talking about?
I drifted.
Obviously not enough, Joe, for you.
Down a cup?
I usually have a cup before I come in here, and I have a cup that I kind of sip on through the morning, and that's about it, 2 cups a day.
Yeah, I'm about the same, 2 cups. But I was just telling you during the break, 4 cups and I pass out because of the hyperactivity, so I have to be very careful about my caffeine intake.
And the time of day for you when you get coffee, right?
I stop before 9 o'clock or I can't go to sleep at 7 or 8 at night.
You know what the big problem for me as far as something keeping me awake is not necessarily coffee, but tea.
Tea.
There's something about tea. I cannot have it, especially late in the day. Otherwise, I'm up all night.
Yeah, iced tea's the worst for us.
It's funny. I know there's caffeine in tea. I didn't really think about it being more of an issue with that than it is with coffee. I mean, Chris, what about you and... And a cup of Joe in the morning or not?
I'm not a coffee drinker. I'm more of an energy drink guy. So I'll drink an energy drink, obviously, during the show. If I'm not working, I may or may not have one, depending on what I'm doing. But for the most part, no, definitely no coffee.
I tried a can of that once. I thought my heart was going to explode.
Well, you got to wean yourself. Caffeine is you know, it's like sugar.
I get a cup of coffee in the morning at home. And maybe 2 for sure here. But this idea of 3 to 5, which in Europe they consider only moderate coffee drinking. Mm. I mean, I think I'd be shaking like I've got the palsy or something here.
Europe is different, too. It's that very thick, heavy
espresso
shot.
Type stuff.
Yeah, it's very, very concentrated caffeine.
Well, then you would also build up a tolerance to it the more you drink.
I've never thought about it as helping me with anything other than just kind of making me feel more awake. What they are talking about here, it increases your ability to learn. It increases your overall heart health, increased fat burning, motor control is improved. Wow. It's a shocker. I'm just surprised by that.
Yeah, it is surprising.
So no one's surprised that it can actually be a stimulating, calming effect for me or other people, the coffee?
I mean, it just depends on how much you're talking about.
Anything you can take that will have a calming effect, I will personally buy it.
Yeah, I know. Stock and coffee.
Send me the bill. Okay. Sports headline for you right now. The Indianapolis 500 set to be the largest sporting event in the world since the start of the pandemic. 135,000 spectators, that's actually only 40% of capacity, will be permitted to attend the May 30th race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando.
You know, a lot of good things are being done in Tallahassee as the Republican-controlled legislature grinds on with the current session here. I mean, we got the Anti-Riot Act right now, just in time, you know, for the Floyd Chauvin verdict and everything. Of course, the lid was on because of the way the thing went there. But I mean, but I have to tell you, just because the Republicans control the legislature doesn't mean I'm going to call them out when they whiff on something. And they have whiffed big time on a story that Alan updated for us yesterday. They were trying to get done a ban on transgender athletes being able to compete. These are boys. They were born boys, okay? But they identify as girls. Some of them are undergoing hormone therapy or whatever else is involved in going from being a boy to being a girl as much as they possibly can be, transgender. They were trying to get a ban on them being able to compete because they have advantages, and it would just kill girl sports if this were allowed to continue. They got it through the House, and the Senate was ready with their version of it, which was a little more accommodating of people who are in the transgender mode. But then all of a sudden, they pulled the plug on it. And your update yesterday was that, what was it? They didn't have enough time to rewrite the law or the bill or something?
They needed time to work on the state budget, was the claim. And that's why they were putting this aside for now.
You know, I've talked about this before, right? Trans women have been on women's sports teams 1 year, 5 years, 10 years ago. And now there's all this massive public outcry. And it's because of a new administration. I get it. But for the first time in history, making trans people's rights part of their agenda, it's a good thing, but it's a bad way of going about it. I mean, unfortunately, this is the next step, guys. First, it was the gays, and it was interracial marriage before that. And now it's going to be trans people. And frankly, there's no need for this bill. And maybe that's why they set it aside.
I think they set it aside because they caved to pressure from the NCAA that administers college athletics, because they have major championship events scheduled all over Florida, and they made it very clear that they would only hold their championships in states that are free of discrimination, saying their policy is based on inclusion and fairness. And I think that the legislature panicked. They didn't want to lose the business. And so they said, well, I don't know if we're going to have enough time to rewrite the legislature here. There's a lot more we must be doing at this particular point in time. And I don't think we have a spare moment. Is anybody here? Notice nobody could write this bill and get it to us before the session ends. So I think we just need to move on.
I'd rather rush
they
it through.
Totally.
Why not?
Whiffed on this thing.
Well, you know, It's like everything else in Tallahassee. Money talks, everything else walks.
Trans rights, not human rights, though. I'm trying to understand the whole thing. Because if we speak up, please, civil rights, basic human dignity, then we should do whatever we can. I mean, there's no way.
It's about fairness. It's not discrimination.
No.
They're demagoguing it as being a discrimination issue. It's not.
And it's not
a fairness in sports.
It's not a
issue.
Fairness issue either, because I don't know of any of these trans girls that are coming out and beating the heck out of the cis women or girls on the same field. Maybe you can use that one example about a track person or here or there. But for the most part, they don't really have that high testosterone level, and they're not really taking care of business and beating the women, whether it's fairness or science or reality.
Well, as I pointed out the other day when we were discussing this, the Florida High School Athletic Association says since 2013 there have been like 20 transgender athletes cleared to participate in sports in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about only 20, and I was curious when I mentioned this as to the physical stats of these people. Are they huge 6'5" guys parading around as girls, you know, unfairly competing, or are they similar in stature to the girls that they are going up against?
Yeah.
We must protect our woman folk from the evil degenerate minority.
So, and what did you find out?
No, I just asked. I said I'd like to
see stats.
There
was no answer. There's no answer because they're not going to do that because that's that's kind of, you know, invasion of privacy.
A privacy thing.
That's like saying, hey, kid, let me see your parts before you go out there on the field and play.
I just was curious, you know, because there's this, I think, stereotype of a transgender athlete that it's, you know, I think a lot of people picture, as I said, some hulking male figure.
Well, the Russian women athletes of the 70s and 80s. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, I think they would. Well, I resent any suggestion of that. I'm sorry. My fat cat lawmakers
Stop
up there.
Stop it!
Anyway, you got shows tonight, Fox. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I do. 6 o'clock tonight, Money Talks. 9 o'clock tonight, Connection Show. All right here on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Brother Spector, for a news update.
Guilty verdicts in an Osceola County murder trial. And a big sports event is going to welcome back lots of fans. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes. Now, 6:57 on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you. It's 7 o'clock on a Thursday as we update once again Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, a father and son convicted of murder in Osceola County. More in 1 minute.
We're going to take a sledgehammer to the systemic racism lie. In this hour of Good Morning Orlando.
7:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. A father and son are guilty of murder in Osceola County. A jury yesterday convicting Christopher Otero Rivera and his father Angel Rivera of second-degree murder for killing Otero Rivera's estranged wife, Nicole Montalvo, in 2019. The two were also found guilty of abuse of a dead body and evidence tampering. State Prosecutor Ryan Williams said a lack of substantial evidence made it a difficult case.
We don't hide things. We just are straightforward. We told them who our witnesses were the entire trial. We just put it out there. And I think my experience is that jurors respond to that. And I think today's verdict is a reflection of the idea that members of our community, when law enforcement acts right, they're willing to trust us.
The Riveras could get life in prison. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Broward County School Superintendent Robert Runcie is arrested and charged with perjury. That in connection with a grand jury investigation that followed the Parkland massacre. Reaction from Andrew Pollock, who lost his daughter Meadow that day.
I don't know how happy you could ever be. You know, my daughter was murdered, but it's good to see that some people getting held accountable.
Runcie, meanwhile, is released on his own recognizance.
Apparently lied to the grand jury, but the specifics of that, we don't know, do we?
No details on that have been released as of yet.
Yeah.
There's a 90% chance of favorable weather conditions for a launch from Cape Canaveral tomorrow morning. NASA and SpaceX postponed this morning's scheduled launch of 4 astronauts aboard the Crew Dragon Endeavor because of weather concerns. It's now scheduled for tomorrow at 5:49 a.m. Bill Nelson, the former U.S. Senator from Florida, was back in familiar surroundings yesterday. He testified before a Senate committee considering his nomination to be the new NASA administrator. Nelson talked about some of the challenges currently facing the space agency.
There has been some slowing down of the supply chain because of COVID and because of natural disasters, hurricanes, etc.
Nelson grew up on the Space Coast and flew on the final shuttle mission before the Challenger disaster.
Yeah, of course, he was beaten for his Senate seat, you know, so he's out. But it's good to see him back. His passion for the space program and the key for NASA is getting the funding out of Congress. I can't think of a better guy to be connected to that duty, you know, and be able to make it happen. So I think it's a good thing. We were excited about that prospect.
Yeah, the guy spent decades on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
He knows his way around. Orange County's sheriff is among those being sued over the new anti-riot bill signed into law on Monday. a civil rights nonprofit called the Lawyers Matter Task Force, filed a suit in Orlando federal court against Governor Ron DeSantis, Attorney General Ashley Moody, and Sheriff John Mina. And one of auto racing's biggest event is set to welcome fans back in record fashion.
After delaying the greatest spectacle in racing last year and having no fans in the stands in August, Indianapolis Motor Speedway announced that May 30th's Indianapolis 500 will be the largest sporting event in the world since the start of the pandemic. Officials in Marion County, Indiana, allowing 40% capacity with COVID protocols in place for the Indy 500, amounting to roughly 135,000 spectators. Among the measures being put in place, face coverings will be required and enforced throughout the venue. Temperature checks will be administered upon public gate entry and fans being spaced out in the grandstands. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
It's amazing how big that place is that you could put 135,000 of them in there and still have social distancing.
Yeah, because it holds like 400,000, doesn't it?
Unbelievable, yeah.
WFLA News Time is 7:06. Former UFC and WWE champion Ronda Rousey announces she's expecting her first child.
Ooh.
That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Rousey is really tough. That's one kid who's going to have to grow up doing what Mama says.
She's going to come out kicking, little BJJ artist.
Yeah.
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Ay-ya!
Gee whiz.
No, I bet Ronda Rousey turns out to be an old softy as a mommy.
You know? I'm talking about the kid kicking her way out of the womb.
I know that, yeah.
Anyway,
she'll be light.
We're so glad you're with us. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Melissa Fox, and Chris Vasquez until 9 o'clock in a moment. Yesterday I was railing on the comments by the president and the vice president about, you know, policing and this country and the world being awash in systemic racism. I don't buy it. I'm offended by it. And I think the systemic racism lie needs to be exploded and debunked. We're going to take a shot at that in a moment, and we invite you to join us at 407-916-5400, text line 23680. But in the meantime, those of you who are aware of our contest know that right after the news at 7, it's time for your shot at some serious cash.
The $1,000 stimulus contest continues on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Our latest keyword will be announced in moments. All you have to do is submit that keyword on our website, WFLAOrlando.com. We make it very easy for you to do that. We do this up to 12 times a day. Each time is your opportunity to put a grand in your hand. Now, 7:08 on Good Morning Orlando.
This headline locally, a child is hurt after an apparent accidental shooting in Orange County. Deputies say a six-year-old girl was shot yesterday afternoon at an apartment complex on North Hastings Street in Pine Hills. The girl in stable condition, expected to survive. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories throughout the morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
I love this country with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind. And I know you patriots do as well. I'm not saying we're perfect. We are far from it, because we're all human beings and we're all imperfect. And we all, as the Bible teaches, fall short of the glory of God. Having said that, it's true that we have a problem with racism in this country and a horrible history that dates back to all those eons of slavery. But we have come so very far, and there are racists and there is racism. But I recoil against this narrative that is out there now being reinforced and driven by the two highest election officials in this country, the president and vice president of the United States, that our policing and our society in general is just awash in systemic racism. I want you to listen from the other day when the verdicts came down in the Derek Chauvin case to Vice President Harris and President Biden on this.
America has a long history of systemic racism. Black Americans, and black men in particular, have been treated throughout the course of our history as less than human.
The systemic racism the Vice President just referred to, the systemic racism is a stain on our nation's soul. The knee on the neck of justice for black Americans, profound fear and trauma, the pain, the exhaustion that black and brown Americans experience every single day.
407-916-5400. If you want to react to that, text line 23680. You know, we're awash in systemic racism and policing. Absolutely. You know, I mean, this is where it's at right now. We know what's going on. Now we have the situation in Columbus with the black girl shot by the white cop who was just trying to stop her from knifing to death another black girl. LeBron James jumping on this thing and saying, "You're next," as he posts a picture of the white cop. Hashtag accountability, jumping to conclusions. It doesn't look like this was an illegal or an inappropriate police shooting. But God, this white cop saved the life of a black girl, for God's sakes. But at any rate, let's talk about policing and systemic racism. Let's blow up the lie here, shall we? These are official crime statistics reported in the Washington Post from the FBI. Of the roughly 330 million people now living in the United States, 1,021 were shot and killed by police officers in 2020. Okay? Of that number, that's 1,000 plus out of 330 million people in the country shot and killed by police officers. Of that number, only 55 of those people were unarmed. And of those 55, only 18 were black. Only 18 were black. And some of those circumstances there, it's not at all clear that the cops were in the wrong in what they did. It is a minuscule number that is being used to fuel a narrative that racism runs rampant in our police departments. What runs rampant in the minority community is not that kind of abuse by police. It is a rare event, not to be defended when it happens. What runs rampant in the minority communities of this country, black crime. More on that as we blow up the systemic racism lie in a moment. Join the conversation. Headlines here for you now. Orange County Sheriff being sued over the new anti-riot bill signed into law on Monday here in Florida. A civil rights nonprofit called the Lawyers Matter Task Force filed the suit in Orlando Federal Court against the governor, attorney general, and Orange County Sheriff John Mina. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Don't mean to be too flip, but I think the basic point of that lawsuit is that you pass an anti-riot act here, and what you do is you undercut the principally minority community, their right to riot when they get a result in a court decision they don't like, or a police shooting that they think is racist. We got a right to riot. You can't shut that down. All right, blowing up the systemic racism lie here further. This is what cops are up against in this country. Under the category of black crime, blacks make up 13% of the United States population, roughly. Believe it or not, 51% of those arrested in this country for murder are black. 53% of those arrested for robbery are black. 33% of those arrested for aggravated assault, black. 35% of those arrested for stolen property, black. 42% of those arrested for weapons violations are black. 13% of the population. What are the cops supposed to do in that situation? Among kids, juveniles, the numbers are even starker. 62% of robbery arrests in this country are committed by blacks under 18. 62%, and they're 13% of the population. I mean, I'm sorry. You got police now backing off because of what's going on and the narrative that is being driven here. Violent crime as a result exploding in cities across America. Melissa?
Yeah, one of my biggest grievances with Democrats, liberals in the United States, is that they tend to conflate this historical racism with modern day racism. Now, I believe that the U.S. government, American society, has historically been discriminatory toward certain races, not just black and brown people, by the way. Hello, Hispanics. Hello, Asians. I believe that the legacy of racism is still present today, but it's in the form of wealth and education disparities. I do not think there is systemic racism in the United States today, bud. I will acknowledge that some policies affect some races disproportionately, but I do not think they have racist intentions. If you look at racial disparities through the lens of racism, it's unproductive because racism is no longer the issue. The issues are poor education, single motherhood, broken cultures, and a lack of opportunity. And you don't solve them by harping on historical wrongdoings. You solve them by creating policies that will actually target these areas.
There you go.
Yeah, I think racism is definitely still a problem in this country.
It is.
Now, whether it's systemic or not, I would disagree with that. I don't like the broad brush that is painted when you use that phrase.
Neither do I.
You know, I don't see police departments, for example, as being awash in racism. I'm sure it occurs in certain officers.
And you got racist cops. You got to get them out of there. You got rogue cops or whatever else, or overstepping their authority as law enforcement. You got to get them out of there.
But to say it's systemic,
yep,
that it's rooted throughout the system.
No.
I don't agree with that.
And the stats bear me out as to where the problems are. Here is Tony in Orlando joining us on the phone. Good morning, Tony.
Hey, Bud. How's it going, pal?
It's going well. Nice to hear your voice again. It's been a while. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, great show as usual. Great show as usual. You know, it's sickening, and, you know, you try and keep your rage down how disgusting this is. You know, my grandfather came here. Well, my grandparents came here from Italy, and they were called Wops and Guineas and all that.
Sure.
So, you know, racism has been about everybody, but let me ask you.
Right, and the point Melissa made, you're addressing with your own family history. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, was Malcolm X a racist? Is LeBron James a racist? Are these rap singers
impossible for somebody, a member of the black minority community, to be racist. I disagree.
Well, yeah, what do they say? Are they saying only white people are racist? You know, in the Latin community, if you go to somebody, you know, I hope I ain't out of line saying this, but if you go to somebody from, let's say, Colombia or Venezuela and ask them if they're Puerto Rican, they get upset.
Woo!
So there's difference in people. There's difference in nationalities, difference in racism. It's not just whites against everybody.
Good talking with you, Tony. I got to take another call. Here's Gil. You're in Groveland, and welcome aboard.
Yes, good morning. How are you doing, bud?
Good. Thanks for calling.
I'm just calling quickly to mention about the Vice President Kamala Harris' reference, her constant point about the big...
systemic racism here, you know, throughout our history, which means including now. We've come so doggone far. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let her have it the way she wants it.
She's definitely a hypocrite on that, because when she was running for president of the United States herself, she accused President Biden of being a racist for his vote against the desegregation.
Yeah, amazing how she has changed. Yeah, since she got the vice presidency.
She was so concerned about it, she wouldn't have accepted the position of vice president in the first
place. Amen to that. Thank you. News coming up here. Alan, what do you got?
Two murder suspects in custody after a shootout in Seminole County. And the U.S. hits another vaccination goal. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes. And elsewhere, coming up on Good Morning Orlando.
News update right now, but heading around Inspector Melissa Fox, Chris Vasquez, it's Good Morning Orlando until 9 o'clock. Alan, violent incident up in Seminole County. What's the story on this?
Well, Bud, we had a shootout at a laundromat in Sanford that resulted in two murder suspects being taken into custody. They had been sought in connection with the fatal stabbing of a 29-year-old woman whose body was found Tuesday night along a trail in Osteen in Volusia County. Seminole County Sheriff Dennis Lemma says his three deputies acted heroically, chasing an armed murder suspect.
Shooting back at the deputies without cover and with little regard for their own personal safety, continued to give chase. And then after they shoot the suspect and neutralize the threat, immediately run over there, render aid, put a tourniquet on the individual.
The suspect, 32-year-old Brandon McLean, is hospitalized in stable condition. None of the deputies were hurt. The other suspect laid down and surrendered. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Like street racing, motorcycle stunt driving is a growing problem on Central Florida roadways. Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Kim Montez tells Fox 35 it's a dangerous practice, especially at night.
If they're doing wheelies, an oncoming car can't see their headlights because now the headlight is up and pointing to the sky.
In the latest incident, police say a man was traveling on I-95 North in Brevard County yesterday morning when he stood up on his seat with his hands out and fell off the bike.
How do you get to that point in your life where you think that makes any sense at all?
I have no idea. Two vehicles who were behind the bike ran over the man.
Oh,
he was pronounced dead at the scene.
Mm.
President Biden is touting the United States hitting 200 million coronavirus vaccinations, double the amount of his original goal of 100 million shots in his first 100 days as president.
200 million shots in under 100 days, actually. It's an incredible achievement for the nation.
But Biden noted that many Americans remain unvaccinated. He said everyone over 16 should be making plans to get the shots and insisted the vaccines save lives.
And then he spent the next 15 minutes praising Donald Trump for his work in getting the vaccines to the... No, maybe not.
I'm sorry, that did not happen. But
not part of the story.
No,
okay.
But I know in Budtopia that would have happened.
Where everything's the way I want it to be.
President Biden is marking this Earth Day with a commitment to cut U.S. greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030. He'll make it official during today's Global Climate Summit. More than 40 world leaders are set to take part during the two-day virtual gathering. And Virginia is now the 18th state to make recreational marijuana legal. Governor Ralph Northam signed a bill yesterday on 420, saying he believes people are already using pot and that adults will no longer get in trouble for having small amounts of weed.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't it have been a day late there?
Yeah, 420 was 2 days ago.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, he's maybe a little mellowed out. Took a little longer than he might have.
Oh, what strain?
You're not making a good case for the weed.
Dude, what strain is that you're smoking? Yeah. A little off there.
WFLA News Time, I know that, is 7:34. Elsewhere. The countdown is on to this weekend's Academy Awards.
Hooray for Hollywood.
And while not all the nominees will go home with an Oscar, they will get a gift bag. The goodies include a four-night stay at the world's top destination spa and three nights at a lighthouse on a Swedish island. Also inside, an emergency hammer to break out dogs left in hot cars, a meditation headband, an acupuncture device, personal training sessions, and a plastic surgery consultation.
Really?
All told, the value of each Oscar goodie bag totals more than $100,000.
That is some serious swag for a bunch of people, most of whom aren't going to win anything.
Most of them are losers.
Oh, advertising. We got to get the marketing and promotion department involved.
I'd rather not win an Oscar. I'll take the goodie bag.
Yes, right. Thank you. One for me.
This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Oh, love them.
A second member of the Four Seasons is being remembered after losing his battle with coronavirus. Joe Long joined the New Jersey-based group in 1965, staying for 10 years. He died yesterday at the age of 79. His death comes a year after Tommy DeVito, the group's co-founder, along with Frankie Valli, also died from COVID.
What a terrific group, you know? One hit after another. They were fabulous.
Yeah, and this guy, Joe Long, we talked about, he was with them during the heyday, 10 years from 65 to 75, when they had most of their big hits.
Yeah.
And finally, Buddy the Beefalo is on his way to a new home here in Florida. the cow-buffalo hybrid became famous after escaping from a meat processing facility near Plymouth, Connecticut last year.
Come on back here.
He knew what was coming.
Buddy!
Buddy!
Now, Buddy the Beefalo was spotted in the woods on numerous occasions, but he remained elusive until police captured him just last week. Finally caught up with Buddy.
Wow.
Officers raised enough money to purchase Buddy from his owner, and he will now live out the rest of his days at the Critter Creek Farm Sanctuary in Gainesville.
Yep.
But he escaped being turned into burgers.
Yeah.
If that doesn't scream new Chick-fil-A mascot, I don't know what does.
Hey, chickens.
Buddy the Beefalo. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. And listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
Would it be fair to have said he was on the lam? No, I guess he couldn't have been.
Well,
on
that's
the
a bunch of bull. Come on now.
Okay, just asking. Mm. Got a sound judgment question that Spector completely whiffed on just moments ago. So we're going to see how the smartest audience in talk radio does. Isn't it great to be thrown under the bus by the Bud Man?
Boy,
Kamala's laughing at you.
Boy, you know, you think...
Kamala's laughing at him.
You think that things that happen when the mic is off will remain behind closed doors, but no.
Dangerous to say anything to me when I'm in the building.
All right, I'm not talking to you anymore.
That's it. But, hey, if you want to win a one-night stay in an oceanfront room in an oceanfront hotel here in Central Florida, I'll tell you, it's our prize today. It'll knock your eyes out. You got to get on the phone. If you haven't won in a while, we welcome you. First timers, this is perfect for you. The phone number to call to play Sound Judgment and see if you're smarter than Alan Spector. 407-916-5400. 407-916-5400. Sound Judgment after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes here on the 50,000-watt front porch. Sports headline right now. The Orlando Magic home tonight to host the Pelicans. Orlando has lost 9 of its last 10 to fall to 18-40. Go Magic, and you can take that any way you want. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Wow, didn't take long to pack the 50,000-watt front porch with contestants when we announced that fabulous prize for Sound Judgment Oceanfront Hotel stay. If you're trying to get in, a wrong answer will open up a line at 407-916-5400, but you're going to have to be quick.
You know, Bud, I think what prompted all the calls is when you said you have to be smarter than Alan Spector, and everybody said, that's a low bar.
Honestly, the line started ringing before the segment was over. I mean, that's a true statement.
They said, we can do that.
Yeah.
Well, let's see if they can. Today's Sound Judgment question focuses on the disastrous deep Water Horizon oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. For on this date in history, April 22nd, 2 days after a BP oil rig exploded off Louisiana, it sank, spewing millions of gallons of oil into the Gulf, devastating sea life and fouling beaches as far away as the Florida Panhandle. Remember? Listen to some sound of news coverage from that day and then tell me what year the Deepwater Horizon oil spill made headlines, and we heard this on this very date.
You have information now that this rig has gone under?
It has gone under the surface at about 10:21 this morning. Coast Guard got word that the vessel has gone under. 336,000 gallons of sweet light crude oil per day that was coming out of that well. So that oil will be released into the water now.
On this date, the Deepwater Horizon oil spill began. What a nightmare it was. What was the year? Matt, you're the first Sound Judgment contestant.
I think it was 2010, bud.
Wow. You're smarter than Alan Spector.
Oh, and come on now.
Matt, congratulations. Here is more on what you've won.
Congratulations, Matt. You've won a one-night stay at the Holiday Inn Resort in Daytona Beach Oceanfront. Choose your own reason why Holiday Inn Resort Daytona Beach is the best experience on the world's most famous beach. Maybe it's the breezy bar and grill overlooking the large oceanfront swimming pool or the lusciously landscaped tropical courtyard. It could be our remarkably stylish rooms and suites equipped with private balconies, mini refrigerators, microwaves, and complimentary wireless internet.
You paint quite the word picture, Chris.
I'm trying.
Congratulations.
Way to go, Matt.
Very nice.
I guessed 1803. I guess I was a little off.
What? No, no, no. 1918. No, wait. That was the Titanic. Oh, that wasn't.
No, Titanic we had a week ago. That was 1912.
Yeah, flu. There we go.
1803 is Louisiana Purchase.
That's what I was thinking of.
I know, so I know, I know.
Louisiana, been, the Gulf, I mean, it's
well, you've been preoccupied with the news duties elsewhere and all of that.
Mm-hmm. So, and I have a lot of personal issues.
Do we need to make a little time for those?
We got a text in. Says, please tell Alan thanks for the Benny Hill music.
That was from the buffalo cow running away. Anytime anything is on the run, we get that music, don't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, I know. It's fun, though.
You mean this music?
Well, yeah, so take us out of this segment, man. We are on the run. That's enough sound judgment. We got more of the show coming right up here.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. It's Thursday morning. You're on the 50,000-watt front porch, and here at 8 o'clock, we're going to update you right now on Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA, Orlando. On FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, guilty verdicts in an Osceola County murder case. More in 1 minute.
Unemployment benefits in Florida, raise them or not. That's the debate next on Good Morning Orlando.
8:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. A jury in Osceola County has delivered guilty verdicts for the estranged husband and father-in-law of Nicole Montalvo, whose body was found dismembered in 2019 after she had been reported missing. Montalvo's estranged husband, Christopher Otera Rivera, and her father-in-law, Angel Luis Rivera, were charged with second-degree murder, abuse of a body, and evidence tampering in her death. The verdicts were bittersweet for Nicole Montalvo's family, including her brother, Eddie Montalvo.
Our sister, my sister, Stevie, Nicole is still gone. A son has still lost his mother.
Prosecutors are expected to seek a sentence of life in prison each for the father and son.
And it would be hard to argue with that based on what we've come to know.
I think you're right, Bud. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. The Broward County School Superintendent is facing a felony perjury charge related to testimony he gave before a grand jury investigation following the Parkland massacre.
Robert Runzie is out of jail, and Parkland father and Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High Public Safety Commission member Ryan Petty wants him out of a job, putting the pressure on the school board.
Oh, I think they should begin their search immediately.
Petty is hopeful through this case being prosecuted by the Florida Attorney General's office, they'll find justice for the MSD victims, including his daughter, Elena.
And that the students in Broward County will benefit from, hopefully, a new superintendent and new leadership at the district.
In a statement, the board's chair has said the district will operate as normal under its leadership team. Erica Rodriguez, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
So the charge is Muncie lied to the grand jury. About what, Alan?
We don't know yet. And Robert Runcie's been a very controversial figure in Broward County ever since the Parkland massacre. He, in fact, was arrested on this perjury charge. He has since been released on his own recognizance. Earlier this week, we were expecting a launch from Cape Canaveral would have taken place about 2 hours ago, but NASA and SpaceX postponed the scheduled liftoff of four astronauts aboard the Crew Dragon Endeavour because of weather concerns. Launch of a Falcon 9 rocket is now set for 5:49 a.m. tomorrow, and weather conditions, according to the forecast, are 90% go. Former Florida Senator Bill Nelson was back on Capitol Hill for his Senate confirmation hearing to be the next NASA administrator. Nelson said President Biden's proposed increase in funding for the space agency is vital.
You can't mitigate climate change unless you can measure it.
And that's NASA's expertise.
Biden nominated Nelson last month. And an NBA superstar is under fire for what some are calling a misinformed social media post about a police-involved shooting.
Following news of the police-involved shooting of Micaiah Bryant in Columbus, Ohio, LeBron James expressed frustration, posting a photo of Officer Nicholas Reardon from the scene of the incident on Twitter, along with a caption of, "You're next, hashtag accountability," seeming to allude to the same fate of Derek Chauvin, who was found guilty in the murder of George Floyd. The LA Lakers star coming under criticism after body cam footage revealed that Bryant was seen wielding a knife and attempting to attack another woman. LeBron deleting the tweet amid the backlash, then posting Wednesday, "I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system, and they always use our words to create more racism. I am so desperate for more accountability." Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
Yeah, big controversy and a lot of blowback against LeBron James here. Jumping to conclusions, in my opinion here, white cop, couple of black girls fighting, one wielding a knife and about on video, clearly, to stab the other girl, you know, maybe fatally, who knows? What's the cop supposed to do in that situation? He shot and saved the life of the girl who was about to be stabbed. It looks to be a justified shooting.
WFLA News time is 8:05. The Postal Service is running a covert operation program monitoring social media posts. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
I mean, they had protesters marching in the street in Columbus, Ohio over this last night. I mean, everybody is jumping to a conclusion, going off the deep end on this situation here. And it's such an explosive situation in the wake of the, you know, the Chauvin trial for the killing of George Floyd and the verdicts and all of that. And all of this happened. I mean, there was a 911 call, Alan. They said, we got a bunch of girls wielding knives and everything and putting their hands on my grandma. You got to get out here now. We need a cop out here now. Cop comes out and all of this mayhem is going on. He sees the knife. He sees the attack imminent. And he takes out the girl.
Yeah, looking at the body cam footage, I have no idea what else the cop could have done except fire at the girl who was attacking the other girl. And for LeBron James to post what he did on social media, you know, really irresponsible. And yeah. I wish people would think a moment before they put something out like that.
Yeah, so do I. We need to get there. We're a million miles from it. Big Florida-based story here. We laid it out here in the just before we hit the news. Should we raise the unemployment benefits in Florida, which are among the lowest in the entire country? The governor says no. Some are calling him heartless. I think he's got a point. We'll get into the debate and see what you think. If you want to join us on this, 407-916-5400 by phone. Text line 23680. Standard message and data rates apply there, of course. And first name and town if you'd like to hear it on the radio. Contest time, Alan.
Yeah, just when you thought you weren't going to get any more stimulus money, we're giving you a chance to win $1,000 in our stimulus contest from News Radio WFLA Orlando. We're about to announce the latest keyword in our contest. All you have to do is submit that keyword to our website, WFLAOrlando.com. It's very easy to do, and we give you 12 opportunities a day to put a grand in your hand. Now, 8:07 on Good Morning Orlando.
All right, headlines right now on the coronavirus. Worldwide, more than 143.8 million cases now, with more than 3 million deaths. In the United States, more than 31.8 million cases, more than 569,000 deaths. And on the vaccine front, we've hit the 200 million vaccine mark effective today within the first 100 days of the Biden administration. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
What's
one of the most exciting things about this show is we get to talk about everything, all right? And sometimes it's heavy-duty politics, sometimes it's crime, sometimes it's race, sometimes it's national, sometimes it's local, sometimes it's statewide. This is a very important Florida story right now. Businesses are trying to recover from the pandemic. They are having a lot of trouble finding enough workers to make the business viable, restaurant industry particularly hard hit. I mean, jobs are going unfilled. What is happening here? Many believe it is because we have these extended unemployment benefits passed by the legislature. I mean, the whole system collapsed when, you know, we just pretty much the state shut down in the beginning of the pandemic. You remember that nightmare with the unemployment system here. Now there's a debate in the waning days of the state legislative session in Tallahassee about whether or not the unemployment benefits ought to be raised for people who are out of work. They're $275 a month, a week max, which is tied for the lowest of any state in the country. They passed a bill in the House to keep them the same. The Senate wants a $100 a week increase, but Governor DeSantis doesn't want an increase. Some are calling him heartless. The Democrats are saying, my God, he doesn't care. He's got a great job and a lot of money and all. He's got people who are dying out there. And here is the explanation of the governor, and I think he has a point. In a scenario where we've got industries that are crying for workers, hey, we're creating a disincentive for people to get off the couch and go find one of these jobs available if we keep on giving them unemployment benefits and extending the period and raising the amount they get. He's against it.
Increase benefits? Uh-huh. Look, no. I mean, I think we're getting people back to work. You know, you see or hear these stories about there's businesses need more. You know, our goal is to get people back to work. I think there's a lot of demand right now. I like to get that unemployment rate below 4% if we can.
That's Governor Ron DeSantis. I mean, you know, I understand both sides of this argument, but I think the governor has a good point. It isn't like there aren't jobs out there. There are plenty of them, and a lot of businesses are struggling, particularly the restaurants, right, Melissa? Because they just can't fill the staff.
Well, for example, in my area, they're closing down one day a week because the staff that they have had has just worked to death. They're not getting days off or any time down. And every time they put an ad out there, they have people that apply, an interview is set up, and then the person doesn't show up. And what that is part of what's going on with the unemployment site. The DEO site's wonderful, but you can, at this point, up until a couple of days from now, I think, you don't even have to put in any work searches to claim a week. And then you've got this kick in from the government for another $600. So you're looking at, you know, $800 or so per week for these people.
You know, my support for increased unemployment benefits depends on whether I am working or not. Because being in radio, I have had periods of joblessness where I've had to depend on unemployment benefits, which are rather low here in Florida.
But in this situation where there are all kinds of jobs available, it isn't always a job you want, but they're out there. And as Melissa points out, we have now an enormous, with all these benefits from the feds, et cetera, enormous disincentive to work.
One of our sponsors here at iHeart is Maxine's on Shine. We've got a great relationship with them.
Nice restaurant.
They are awesome. And Maxine put out a word. I think I sent it to you, bud.
Yeah. It's interesting here. The essence of it is this. You know, we got a labor shortage here. The number of people that work in our restaurant industry has dwindled. Some are going on to other career choices. Others have moved in with family members, left the state, whatever else here. But we're to the point right now where our staff is overworked. We don't have enough people, and we are closing one extra day to give them rest and for their own mental health. But the fact of the matter is we've got jobs, but we don't have workers, which I think is exactly aligned with why the governor is opposed to increasing the benefits.
I wonder if there's some way you could correlate the employment rate, the rate of people who have jobs in Florida with unemployment benefits, to where if it got to a certain point, maybe unemployment is down to 3%, then there's a lack of jobs available, then maybe at that point you kick up the unemployment benefit. I'm not sure if you could actually do that, but just a thought.
Well, more on this, a very important issue here. If you're running a business right now, you've been listening to what we're telling you. What side of this are you on? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Headlines: Minneapolis staying under the microscope after a former cop was convicted of murder. The Justice Department now wants to know if police routinely use excessive force or treat minorities unfairly in Minneapolis. Investigators will also review training and accountability. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories. Our promise to you on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
A lot of Democrats in the legislature want unemployment benefits extended and raised. Governor DeSantis says no. We've got, you know, a low unemployment rate. We've got jobs that aren't being filled. This is a disincentive for people to go out and fill those jobs. Here is Jim in Kissimmee on this. Jim, thank you for listening, and welcome to the 50,000-watt front porch, Jim.
Hi, bud. Good to talk to you again. Haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah.
A couple bits of information. Number one, employers pay the tax. They pay the same amount of tax that the employers in other states pay. So my point is they should have to pay the same benefit. And most states pay 26 weeks, not 13. Florida pays only 13. So if you lose an $80,000 a year job, you get $275 a week for 13 weeks. Kind of hard to find a job in that category otherwise if you lost a job on the Space Coast or something. But I have a common sense solution. Mm-hmm. Number one, don't change it till after the COVID edition is gone because it's too much now with that. Number two, allow people to work part-time so that they can make more money up to a certain percentage. Right now, they don't allow you to do that. So you wouldn't have to increase the benefit if you allowed people to pick up a part-time job while they were looking for a full-time job.
All right. Appreciate the input on that, Jim. Thank you very much. What do you think of that? 407-916-5400. Text line 23680. Text line's hot. We'll go to them in a moment. It's great what they are saying. A lot of folks have a lot to say. Here is Jamie on the phone, though, as we go to Avalon Park. Jamie, good morning to you.
Morning, bud. Long time no speak. Yeah, I think that previous caller does have some good points that I think the rate does need to be raised since it hasn't been raised since 2009, but do that after the $600 bonus, whatever payment comes in from the feds. But you got to tie any raise to actual interviews, not just put in an application and then ghost the potential employer. Ghosting employers happens far too often.
Yep.
Just so that people can abuse the system and check that box.
Yeah, it's a point Melissa was making early, and you're right on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's something that I was furloughed for a little bit during COVID, and instead of just kind of going, oh, I don't have to put in things, I did that anyway. I went in and made sure that I got my five applications. I did my five calls and emails and all that kind of stuff each and every week. Within a month and a half, I had another better job.
Yep, you don't have to do that now. All you have to do is say that you applied online, you didn't go in person, and COVID ruined your day and money.
Thank you, Jamie. Appreciate it. Let's get on up to Mount Dora. Bob, you're on the 50,000-watt front porch. Go ahead, Bob.
Good morning, bud. Man,
hi there.
I got to tell you, great idea while it lasted, wasn't it?
America.
Unfortunately, we don't have the culture we used to where people would rather go out and work for little than they would sit on their butt for a lot. And now it's completely the other way around. And if anybody would stop and take notice, the trophy generation is in their late 30s, early 40s. So they're trying to change the world into what their home life was when the parents only cared about their self-esteem. And
yeah, when you say the trophy generation, you mean when they were little and the kids, everybody got a trophy on the little league team, whether they won a game or not.
Yeah, that's the equal outcome they're preaching now.
Right.
They just want the world to be like their home life when everyone coddled to their feelings and only cared about their self-esteem. And, you know, like I said, here, everybody gets a trophy, so everybody gets the equal outcome. Well, that's everything they're trying to do now.
Got it, Bob. Thank
you.
I'm sure
our vice president is a millennial.
I'm sure you work hard. I know I am in the presence of some of the hardest working people I know. But in this society, on balance, the work ethic, as you correctly point out, frankly, is not what it was.
Yeah, and the work ethic's been weird. It's
well,
in
you
my
get that with the welfare state. That's what you get.
You get that in my same family. My brother's been living off the dole forever, and I work hard for a living. What do you want? I mean, it's just mindsets and reality, and he was coddled, and I'm my firstborn.
How about the text line?
And now he's going to call me. Here's one. It says, we have applicants tell us they'll only go to work if we pay them under the table so they can stay on unemployment.
Uh-huh.
This one says, people need to go to work. The governor is right. Now, I have someone I've been texting back and forth with who said that the money keeps going down. We're not living, you know, the high life on Florida's unemployment money. But this person was let go from a job 15 months ago that made $75,000 a year as a banquet manager, you know, in Orlando. Those jobs aren't just right there for the new hire. You know, so I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else we have. The additional federal unemployment payments are $300 a week. Let's not like act like Florida's getting rich on unemployment.
You know, I'd like to say something in defense of the trophy generation.
Please.
Of which my three children are all members. They're all in their 30s, and they all work very hard. They all went to college, got their degrees in various fields, and have pursued those fields very successfully. So, not everyone who grew up in the trophy generation espouses that mentality at this point.
On all things, we have to be careful of the broad brush.
Yep.
News, Alan?
A murder suspect arrested after a shootout in Seminole County. And the Florida State Fair opens today. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes. Now 8:28 on Good Morning Orlando.
Thursday morning. Good morning, Orlando, and a very good morning to you. The Budman here, and alongside me now, my co-host and our newsman, Alan Spector. This is a follow-up to a tragic story that was in the news yesterday.
Yeah, a murder investigation in Volusia County led to a shootout in neighboring Seminole County yesterday. 29-year-old Amy Desiree Lane Humphreys of Orange City had been found stabbed to death Tuesday night in Osteen. We reported on that yesterday. Seminole County deputies confronted two suspects at a laundromat in Sanford yesterday. Sheriff Dennis Lemma says one of the men lay down and surrendered, but the other took off on foot, firing at deputies.
The deputies then again returned fire at that location, striking the suspect at least five times. He ultimately was able to get between a house and a building. Our deputies knocked down the fence so they could go in and render aid to the suspect.
The suspect, identified as 32-year-old Brandon McLean, is hospitalized in stable condition. None of the deputies were injured. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Investigators are looking into a motorcycle stunt in Brevard County that left the rider dead. Police say the man was traveling on I-95 North yesterday morning when he stood up on his seat in his motorcycle with his hands out and fell off the bike. Two vehicles who were behind the motorcycle ran over the man. He was pronounced dead at the scene. This incident is the latest in a growing trend of motorcycle stunt riding in Central Florida.
Dangerous, and if they don't care about their lives, we have other drivers that care about theirs. That's why we want to make sure that nobody else does.
And that's why Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Kim Montez tells our news partner Fox 35 that state troopers are cracking down on the practice.
You know, normally something like this that just pops up comes out of a TV show or something. Is there some extreme sports TV show with stunt riding and now everybody's trying to do what they do? Is that what's going on here?
We've seen that on TV. I mean, years ago we had Evel Knievel. Now we have the Fast and Furious movie series, which involves a lot of stunt driving.
It's been going on forever.
And, you know, we've also got, in addition to the motorcycle stunts, we've had the street racing, which has resulted in fatalities here in Central Florida.
Standing up on your motorcycle on I-95 at highway speed. I mean, as you always say, Alan, what could go wrong? And with tragic results, we know.
Mm-hmm. America will pass 200 million coronavirus vaccinations today. At the White House, President Biden called it an American achievement, but noted a large number of Americans are still not vaccinated. The Florida State Fair opens today in Tampa. A couple of months later than usual due to the pandemic, it's the first time since 1979 that the fair has been held in April, and Executive Director Cheryl Flood is asking people to be ready for warmer weather.
Bring sunscreen, wear comfortable shoes, and most importantly, when you come through the gate, remember what gate you walk through.
To save time on the walk back to your car, social distancing is required, so are masks inside and out, except when eating some fair food, such as pickle pizza and deep-fried rainbow cookies.
Deep-fried rainbow cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Heart attack on a stick.
Pretty much deep-fried anything at a fair.
Yeah.
Is
funnel cakes is my vice when I'm going to a fair. Gotta have a funnel cake.
WFLA News Time is 8:35. Elsewhere. Speaking of food, another fast food chain is looking to jump on the meat alternative train.
Yo quiero Taco Bell.
Taco Bell is reportedly testing out its own plant-based product on its menu items, the Cravetarian Taco. Yes, the Cravetarian Taco is available to try at the company's Tustin, California location and is a meatless version of the Crunchy Taco Supreme. The item consists of the non-meat option, which is a mix of peas and chickpeas, and comes in a crunchy shell topped with cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, and sour cream. Other offerings containing meat can also be switched with the meatless option at Taco Bell.
Do you guys try that stuff? I mean, there's so many of these meat alternatives out there.
I've never have.
Yeah, I'm a fan of meat, real meat.
Me too. I tried one Impossible Burger, I think it was, at Burger King.
Not going to happen.
You know, it was a nice try, but didn't take me where I needed to go.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers helped bring some eyeballs to the TV during his stint as guest host of Jeopardy. Reportedly, Jeopardy's ratings jumped 14% with Aaron Rodgers at the podium.
Wow.
His episodes did far better than Dr. Oz, but were not as good as Ken Jennings' time as guest host. Now, CNN's Anderson Cooper is hosting this week and I believe next week as well. And LeVar Burton of Reading Rainbow and Star Trek The Next Generation fame has just been added to the list of guest hosts upcoming on Jeopardy.
Is he going to wear that eyepiece he used to?
That's Jordy. It's a character.
That was a head across his eyes.
It was like a Fram air filter, wasn't it?
It really was. It was just a half of an oil filter.
I hope he shows up wearing that. Who is the best host you've seen since we lost Alex Trebek?
I thought, as I mentioned, I guess we were talking about this last week, the executive producer, Mike Richards, who was pressed into service when somebody else couldn't make it, I believe because of the COVID restrictions. I thought he's done the best job so far.
Yeah, he's good, but I got to wait to see. My money's on LeVar, and they actually did a petition online where people were like, hey, the Reading Rainbow guys, you've got to do this. And he got the last nod just like 2 days ago. He's very excited.
Yeah, and he's been saying that he thinks he'd be good at the job, and I bet he would.
But he didn't even think about it till it was posed to him. That's how modest the guy. I love LeVar Burton.
Good guy.
Roots!
And we know he knows how to read, so that's an important
part
of the job.
Well, that's very important. Yeah. It really is, yeah.
And finally, speaking of game shows, Wheel of Fortune host Pat Sajak accidentally gave away the answer to a puzzle last week, and the contestant did not catch it. Sajak accidentally revealed the answer, which was, quite frankly, to the bonus puzzle. And he revealed it during the bonus round when half of the letters were still unturned.
Yikes. Well, I'd rather be standing here than there, frankly.
Did you hear what you said?
I did, right after I said it. I wonder how many people at home caught it, but in setting up the thing, you know, there weren't many letters up there, and I said, I'd rather be here than there, quite frankly, which was the puzzle. But it goes to show you that people are concentrating and they're not paying any attention to me.
After the slip, the contestant was still unable to solve the puzzle.
Amazing. You know, I often watch him, and of course, I can see how you do this show for year after year after year. You get on autopilot. He so often to me sounds like he is just completely on autopilot, just checked out, you know, and just looking like he's interested, but he's really not.
Yeah.
It's my perception.
Well, that's
of
an
that
art.
Staging.
That's an art form.
Yeah.
Looking like you're interested, but you're not.
It's kinda, hey, you kinda, catch it on?
Kind of what I do here about 3 hours every day.
Saw it.
Uh-oh.
I'm kidding.
Don't give away our secrets.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
I promise I'm not feigning interest in Olson on Law. No. What are you and Tom going to be talking about in a moment?
This is pretty interesting because it's something I encountered myself. Should a parent add the name of a child to their bank account? We'll explore that with Tom on Olson on Law. That is coming up right here on News Radio WFLA.
Headlines and a story we'll be watching closely today. Another Minnesota family who lost a loved one to police saying their final goodbye. Dante Wright's funeral is going to be held today in Minneapolis nearly 2 weeks after he was shot and killed by Officer Kim Potter, who thought she was using a taser but had her pistol in her hand. All of this during a traffic stop. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540. And now for our weekly look at legal issues in the news with our in-house legal expert, Attorney Tom Olson. This is Olson on Law.
We do it every Thursday at this time. We bring you Olson on Law with longtime Orlando attorney Tom Olson. Alan Spector here along with Tom. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan and crew and WFLA listeners.
All right. Our topic this morning is one that actually I encountered along the way, and we might get into that as we discuss it. But it's whether parents should add the name of a child or their children to their bank accounts. Now, why would a parent want to do that?
Generally, they do it for two reasons. One would be so that the child could pay their bills if they needed to, if they were in a car wreck and comatose, for example. And it's also a tool to avoid probate, but not a good tool to avoid probate.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me. I actually had added the name of one of my children. I've got three children to my bank account, thinking, okay, at least if something happens to me, one of my children at least has access to the funds in my bank account. I don't have to worry about it being frozen or taken away by the state. And then I was told by a lawyer later on, nah, you really shouldn't do that. What are the problems with that, Tom?
The problem is if the child gets sued, works up $1 million in medical bills, doesn't pay their taxes, files bankruptcy, gets divorced, has a terrible automobile accident, child's creditors are coming after parents' money because a child's name is on parents' bank account. The other problem is that if you've got three kids and you have just one of them as a co-owner of your bank account and you pass away, that money will legally belong to that one child and he or she will not be required to split it up with their siblings. And I find that to be a problem that they, when mom passes away, that sibling, that child keeps all the money and does not split it up with his or her siblings.
So is this never a good idea? And what should parents do as far as their bank accounts are concerned?
So on an everyday checking account that has less than $10,000 in it, I'm okay with you add your child's name to that account, maybe one or more of the kids. But on as a general rule, we prefer that you keep your bank accounts in your name only. As far as getting them access to that money to pay bills if they need to, get a good financial power of attorney. That will give them access to the funds. And as far as avoiding probate on that bank account, you can make it POD, payable on death to your children. That is a great tool to avoid probate on bank accounts. Checking, saving, CDs, and investment non-IRA accounts, make them POD, payable on death.
You mentioned an important word there, probate, Tom. And I know in your show, you've discussed how to avoid probate. And maybe that's something we can get into on a future episode of Olson on Law.
I'd love to, Alan.
All right. If you have legal questions about just about anything, Tom will be happy to answer them on his Olson on Law show. That is heard Saturdays at 1 p.m. here on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Tom, thanks so much. We'll see you next time. All right. And remember, for all of your legal needs, call the Olson Law Group in Orlando. And we'll be back to wrap up Good Morning Orlando.
Look at headlines right now on the pandemic. America will pass 200 million coronavirus vaccinations today within 100 days of the start of the Biden administration. The president calling it an American achievement, but noting that a large number of Americans remain unvaccinated. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories all morning here on Good Morning Orlando. Welcome back for the final few moments of the show. If you were with us earlier, we talked about the situation in Columbus, Ohio. And all of this drama unfolded with a racial component to it, almost simultaneously with the rendering of the three guilty verdicts against the Minneapolis former cop Derek Chauvin in the death of George Floyd. And all these stories are individual with vastly different circumstances, and it's the old broad brush here. Here was everybody jumping on top of this thing and saying, oh, my God, what happened in Columbus? Here we go again, including basketball superstar LeBron James. More on him in a moment, but if you haven't caught up with this story very briefly, in Columbus, Ohio, there was a 911 call saying, we got a bunch of girls fighting and they got knives, they're wielding knives and they're putting their hand on my grandma. We got to have a police officer out here now, right?
Yeah, it was in a residential neighborhood. And when you see the body cam footage, you see there is indeed some kind of melee going on in the driveway and front yard of a home.
Cops show up. This particular cop happens to be white. The girls fighting are black. One of them has a knife, clearly in the video, and is going after this other girl, and it looks like about to jam that knife blade right in her gut and fillet her like a fish. And the cop opens fire to save the life of that black girl who was about to be attacked by the other black girl with a knife in what I think would be viewed as a potentially, you know, life-ending event.
Right.
And shoots four times, and the 16-year-old girl is dead. The instant reaction, and they had marches in the street last night, was, my God, here we go. White cop takes out another black American, and it didn't have to happen. Well, it looks like it's a completely justified shooting, and enter LeBron James. What was it that he tweeted and then took it down?
He tweeted, "You're next," as if to compare to the Derek Chauvin situation. He didn't specifically say that, but it seemed like he was saying, you know, Derek Chauvin got his in court, and now you're next, meaning the officer involved in this.
And am I correct that the tweet was accompanied by a photograph of the white cop?
Yeah.
You're
Oh, yeah,
next.
No, it had his picture and yes. everything next to it, yeah. And I'm sitting here watching the video. I mean, there was a father in there, it looks like, trying to kick the teenage girl in the head when she's on the ground. I mean, these just people, nobody knew how to act. And that girl in the pink, all of a sudden, is in this fight out of nowhere, just standing there doing nothing, holding her dog. I mean, people, please stop taking, you know, the little bits that you see and making a conclusion.
Yeah, and that's what LeBron James did. He jumped to conclusions. I can understand the immediate reaction he might have in the wake of the Derek Chauvin trial, but he's got millions of followers on social media, and whether he should be or not, he's very influential over many of them, and he's got to watch what he says. He's got to think twice before posting on social media.
Yeah. In an explosive climate, you know, along racial lines that we have in this country right now. Then he later went back to Twitter and said, you know, anger, I was angry, and anger is no good for me or anybody else, or words to that effect. Wasn't really an apology,
no.
Which I think would have been required there with a statement would have been nice along the lines of what you made about we have to avoid jumping to conclusions in this contentious atmosphere in which we find ourselves. But he's very militant, you know, LeBron is, as a black man along these lines, and he has a real problem with policing. And earlier we spent some time trying to explode this lie, this myth about there being systemic racism in police departments running rampant everywhere. When we talked about the fact that 330 million Americans, there were 1,000 or so people shot and killed by police in this country last year. Only 55 of them involved unarmed people, and only 18 of them were black. And even all of those circumstances, it was not at all clear that the cops did anything other than what they had to do.
You know, I think you brought up a good question earlier on this, Bud. When we're talking about the Columbus situation, what if the cop had not fired on the girl and the girl had killed the other girl?
Oh, then end up a call
then
out.
Then the cop would have been called out for not saving the life of the girl who was stabbed.
Yep.
We're putting our police in an impossible situation here across this country, and we're losing cops to early retirement, and people aren't going into law enforcement, and we're seeing cops back off because it's not worth it to pursue criminals, you know, particularly if they are black, and crime is exploding. Violent crime in cities across this country. It is an untenable situation. This has got to stop. This has got to be ended. And this is the other side of a story here beyond the narrative that is being driven by black activists and by an awful lot of Democrats, starting with our president and vice president.
Yeah. Hey, I made some comments earlier today, and many people were very interested in them. They are on our website at WFLA Orlando, my radio thoughts about systemic racism and historic racism. If you want to look it up, check it out.
What about all our comments, Alan?
Yeah,
nobody gives
comments.
A rip about
no,
those.
No, they just went right in the trash can here.
You
my
know,
point
along
of saying that is we don't have enough time for me to do the dang monologue I had, so.
Well, okay, fair enough. That's all good. Go to frontyardfestival.org and tap into the Dr. Phillips Center Front Yard Festival. World-class live entertainment in the heart of downtown Orlando, socially distanced outside, presented by Advent Health, night after night after night. We're all over it here at iHeartRadio, and you will love what's going on there. For Alan and Melissa and Chris, the Budman, thanking you for joining us. Hope you have a wonderful day. Catch you Friday morning, 6 to 9. From all of us, thank you. God bless you and God bless America.